thanks to the musicians and thanks to James and Matthew for sharing in our service there this morning. And it's good to see you. There are always more people up here when you come up later than at the start of the service, so great to see you along this morning. I just need to clarify something at the start of the service. I know that after Aaron's message last week, a number of people were rather disturbed, and they were wondering about this strange man in a suit with a briefcase who may or may not have a scar on his head, who appeared in the delivery room while the twins were being born. What Aaron didn't actually remember to tell you was that this was some senior consultant who popped in just to check that everything was okay. It wasn't like an apparition or anything. I know there's a bit of discussion after the service about that, so let me put your minds at rest straight away. Otherwise, the message is excellent, Aaron. No worries about that at all. But continuing with the birth theme, of course, we were thinking of Christmas. And if you want to announce a birth today, probably one of the most common ways to announce a birth today would be on Facebook. It's not long before the message is out there. Word spreads so quickly. If you're a bit more old-fashioned, you might decide to put a notice in the Times. I remember reading about the arrival of Walter and Corona's some of their grandchildren in the Times. The Maguires like to do things in style, and you can put the announcement in there. Or if you're royalty, then a baby will be announced by a little easel put up in the grounds of Buckingham Palace there, and the message will be there just close enough for the photographers to take a photograph and to put it in the paper. But even those were nothing compared to the announcement of the birth of Jesus. All those methods just pale into insignificance. I wonder if you remember where you were when you heard big news. Good news or bad news? More often it's bad news we hear that hits the headlines. I wonder, can you remember any of those events where you were? Some of the more mature among us might remember when President Kennedy was assassinated, or the death of Diana in the car accident, or the attacks more recently on the World Trade Center. People say that you remember where you were when you heard some of those world events. Well, there was a group of shepherds who were just doing their normal night's work out in the fields just outside Bethlehem in the hills, who had an evening and heard news that they would never forget. They would never, ever forget the day that we've just been reading about there. Normal night, out looking after the sheep, cold night, maybe sitting with a campfire, maybe a bit of a shelter, somewhere where they could spend the night looking out for the sheep who'd been put safely in their pen for the night. And suddenly, everything changed. Suddenly, what was just one more night for the shepherds outside Bethlehem changed in a way that they could never that they could never have anticipated, and they would certainly never forget. Matthew and James read us the reading. I'm going to read it again just now, simply because not everyone was here, and we want to look again. We're going to look for a few moments together at Luke chapter 2. We'll just read that same passage again, beginning at verse 8. Well-known words as Luke, who, remember, investigated all these things carefully. That's what he says at the start of his gospel. I investigated all these things carefully and heard all the different accounts and wrote down what happened so that you'd be sure and you'd be certain. And here's what Luke says. This is chapter 2, verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So here is this strange visitor that suddenly appears to the shepherds out on the hills at night, as they were watching their sheep. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid." Of course, they were terrified. They were, the old authorized version says, they were sore afraid. These were shepherds who, they were very frightened. And the angel immediately brought a message to them. And the first thing the angel said was, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Can you imagine that? Suddenly this appearance of an angel, and not only that, but after that came this heavenly host singing, and the angel says to these terrified shepherds, don't be afraid. Imagine how they must have felt. It must have seemed almost hollow words to them. Out there in the hills, with all of these things happening, and here's this almost an apparition, something that this person who appears, we don't know the exact nature of the angel, what he looked like, but here he was speaking to them. And he said, "I bring you good news. Good news of great joy." Maybe when the shepherds saw this, shepherds would often have been a bit superstitious. Maybe they feared, is this some sort of divine retribution? Has God found out about some sin? Are we in trouble now? And the angel said, "No, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." And not just for them, but for everyone. I bring you good news for all people. Good news of great joy, that will be for all of the people. The Greek word, there's the word laos, we get our word laity from the ordinary people. This is good news for everyone, just the ordinary people in Bethlehem and way beyond. And the angel went on, "A Saviour has been born. Today a Saviour has been born to you." All the Jews were familiar with the promises from the prophets. All the Jews would have been familiar with words. We've read them over the last few weeks from Isaiah and Micah, speaking of this Messiah who would be born. I wonder, did the mention of Bethlehem ring a bell? Would the shepherds have thought, Bethlehem, sheep, shepherds, angels, would they have thought of that? Or were they too overcome? I imagine they're probably just so overcome that they didn't think it through. It's easy for us years later to read this and to say, "Oh, yes, this is what happened." But I'm not sure these men would have thought that through. I wonder what they thought of. What is this person talking about? Savior from what? Going to save us from shepherding? We're not going to have to do this job. Save us from poverty? Save us from injustice? Save us from oppression? Save us from the Romans who are occupying the land? What is this message? A Savior has been born. And the angel said, "He is the Christ." That's just another word for the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the long-promised one. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And the Messiah, of course, had been promised and talked about for the Jews since the days of the prophets. But for about 400 years, there had been no word of prophecy. For 400 years, there had been silence. God hadn't spoken directly to his people, not since Malachi, the last prophet, just before Matthew in our Bibles. And there hadn't been any message. And suddenly here was this angel announcing this news to a group of shepherds up in the mountainside outside of Bethlehem. Did they understand? I doubt it. I doubt at first that they really caught what was happening. Which of us would have just taken that message, as we do so glibly now, and say, "Oh yeah, okay, Messiah's coming, great." No, they were completely overwhelmed, I would guess. And so the angel, knowing that, gave them a way to check out what he was saying. And the angel said, "Go and see for yourselves. I understand that you're completely confused, you're overwhelmed, you're frightened. This is not a normal night shepherding. So go and see for yourselves what's happening, and you'll find it to be true." The angel said, "This will be a sign to you. Here's the proof, if you like. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Well, who puts a baby in a manger? I mean, even the shepherds, they'd be thinking, what is that? What could that be? If they found that, there was going to be no mistaking, because people just don't put a baby in a manger. And as if that wasn't frightening enough, suddenly there was this multitude of the heavenly host, as the old translation says, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." These heavenly beings who've been there since all of creation, who'd been there from all eternity with God, who'd seen the creation, who'd seen the fall, who'd seen the law given, who'd heard what the prophets had said, these people who worship God, and they celebrate, all of heaven celebrates God stepping into humanity in the form of Jesus the Messiah. And we sing these songs, we sing "Glory to God in the highest," we celebrate the day, but heaven was already celebrating the news of the birth. See, the herald announcing the birth of the baby at Buckingham Palace had nothing in that. Nothing on this news that was announced to ordinary shepherds in an ordinary field looking after their sheep on a hillside on a winter's day outside Bethlehem. Peace to men on earth, or peace to people on earth. What could that possibly mean? They already enjoyed peace. They had the Roman peace, as it was called, the Pax Romana, which Caesar Augustus had more or less established throughout his kingdom. The Jews weren't happy that the Romans were there, but the world was largely at peace. What could this peace be that the angel was speaking about? Well, of course, the shepherds responded in a way which wasn't surprising. They were terrified, first of all. Shepherds aren't easily frightened. They spend dark nights out on the mountainside looking out for their sheep. They could be troubled by robbers. They could be troubled by wild animals. They're not easily frightened. We used to take Duke of Edinburgh groups over to Scotland to do the gold and silver expeditions, and we came across a few shepherds, and those are not people to be easily frightened. I remember we parked the minibus in the wrong place once, something we shouldn't have, and it wasn't 2 minutes before a shepherd was down letting us know exactly what he thought of that, and we made friends and we got on very well in the end. Another shepherd used to tow a dead fox about behind his wee quad bike through the fields just to warn any other foxes who had any intentions towards the sheep. These weren't people to be frightened, but they were terrified. They were sore afraid. They were really scared of what was happening here. And I'm quite sure that they were puzzled. I'm quite sure that when the angels went back to heaven, the message was over. I'm quite sure that they talked to one another and said, what was that we just saw? Even worse than Aaron's visitor in the delivery room. What was that? Do I have too much wine last night? Did you see that? Did I imagine that? What had happened to these shepherds out in the field? I'm sure they were puzzled. I say, we read it so glibly, these events, because we read them year after year after year. But they went and investigated. So they said, look, let's go down to Bethlehem. The only way we're going to clarify this is to go down, like the angel said, to go down and see if this is true. Because you're not going to find a baby lying in a manger every day. So we'll go down to see. So they went down to Bethlehem. At least some of them, I'm sure that some of them stayed with the sheep. And some were sent down to Bethlehem. But you know, they had begun to understand. There was certainly the hint there that they had begun to understand, because they said, let's go down and see that which the Lord has told us about. So they were thinking, you know, if God has spoken, if this has been God speaking to us, we need to find out more about it. And they must have had to inquire. They were going down to Bethlehem in the middle of the night. How were they going to find this baby? It wasn't like the wise men who had a star to guide them. They must have had to hunt out a few people and said, Did you see a pregnant woman about a young girl about the town? Any idea where she'd be? Maybe knocking on doors. But however they arrived, at the inn and were shown to the stable behind. And sure enough, there was a baby in a manger. And there were the parents of this newborn baby. Probably not as bright and clean as the little manger scenes like our one here. We all have them about the place. An animal shed behind an inn with all the animals there, and these shepherds who were well familiar with that went in, and there was this baby in a manger with the mum and dad and the animals round about. One of the other ministers in town was making us laugh the other day, because obviously ministers go around quite often to the nativity plays around the different schools, and this was not in Hollywood, but in a previous church where he served, he went to see the nativity play, and they had the manger scene set up, and there was Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and a sheep and camel. But strangely, in the manger there was a pig, which doesn't seem very kosher in a Jewish stable somehow, but presumably the teacher was giving out the costumes there. Here's a sheep, who wants to be a sheep, who wants to be a pig? But anyway, there were no pigs, but it was a dirty old stable, and here was the baby lying in the animal's feeding trough. It all seems so unlikely. It's easy for us to read. But we only have a very brief outline of what happened there. But I'm quite sure that they had a long chat with Mary and Joseph. I'm quite sure they explained about the angels. Why were they down in Bethlehem? An angel appeared to us and spoke to us. And we saw all heaven and seemed to be proclaiming the birth of this baby. And we didn't know it was going to be true, but we came down and here it is, just as the angel had told us. Maybe Mary would have shared with them the words that she heard from the angel Gabriel, when Gabriel first came and told her that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God. And maybe Joseph shared with them how he'd been so doubtful about Mary suddenly pregnant, and how an angel had appeared to him as well and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because this baby that's going to be born is of the Holy Spirit. They'd have talked about the miraculous conception of this baby. I'm sure they had a long conversation, because each of these people, Mary and Joseph and these ordinary shepherds, were going through extraordinary things. These are things that had never happened in human history and have never happened again. Here they were in Bethlehem, in David's city. I wonder if they remember those words of prophecy that we've read over the last few weeks in church here. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be in his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And last week, Aaron was sharing with us from Micah, where the prophet said, But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. And here were these words of the prophets, which they would have known in their heads, suddenly came true in their time, in their day, in their town, on their watch. These shepherds suddenly were privy to the birth of the Son of God. And I'm sure they finally understood. They put together all these messages from this ordinary young couple and these ordinary shepherds, and they thought that, unlikely as it seemed, it all began to make sense. All the pieces of the jigsaw fell into place. The promised, long-awaited Messiah had arrived, had been born, in a way that no one would have expected. Who would have expected the birth of the Son of God to take place the way it did? But that's the way God broke into our world. And maybe they understood what the angels had spoken of when he said about peace between man and God. Maybe they remember those words that the angel spoke to Joseph and said, when this baby's born, you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And the name Jesus, of course, means the Lord saves. And it all began to fall into place. And they suddenly realized this little baby here is the promised Messiah, who's been promised for hundreds of years and who has been born in a way that no one would have expected, as a little baby in an animal feeding stall, in a shed behind an inn, in a very crowded Bethlehem where people had come to register as the Romans had required. And so what did they do? They went and told others. They went out, verse 17 there, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed. They went out and they told everybody. They said, you're not going to believe what's happened. And probably most people didn't believe. They said, here's what happened. They explained about the angels, and they talked about the baby. This is the middle of the night in Bethlehem, where they're waking people, where they're finding people about the town, and explaining to them that the promises of God made hundreds of years ago had been fulfilled that dark, cold night outside of Bethlehem. And of course, then they praise God. Verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. They presumably went back up to their, I'm assuming that they left some of the shepherds or the sheep, they went back up to them and they told them, listen, it's exactly what the angel said to us. We weren't dreaming. It wasn't imagination. It wasn't a hallucination. The baby has been born, just as the angel said. There, lying in the manger, in the inn, and down the town there, there is the baby whom was promised. And what a night for those despised shepherds. What a night for those few men out in the hills there who were the first to hear of the arrival of the Prince of Peace. And how did people react to their news? Well, they were amazed. Verse 18. Verse 18. When the shepherds went, all those who heard about it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Who would believe such a story? Particularly from shepherds. Shepherds weren't even allowed to testify in court because they were considered to be unreliable people. They were considered to be untrustworthy. And who would have believed the story of this bunch of shepherds? Again, maybe people were thinking what the shepherds initially thought. These guys, they've had too much to drink. What is going on with these shepherds? What is this story of angels? And the people were puzzled. They were amazed. They said, can this be true? Can this really be true? But who would make up such a story? Who would make up a story about a baby being born in a manger? It's almost beyond fiction. But people were amazed and they thought, well, what is this that the shepherds are telling us? But for some, it prompted thoughts. Mary certainly was beginning. Verse 19 there, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, this is a young girl, probably in her late teens, These events were extraordinary, supernatural. God was at work in his world. And others must have thought the same. Can this really be true? Is this what God promised? Is this the word of the shepherds fulfilling what God spoke about all those years ago? Certainly in Bethlehem was where the Messiah was to be born. But this is not how we expected it. People would have been thoughtful. People would have thought, can this really be? Can this be true? And some, of course, were sceptical. Some didn't believe. Would God lower himself in this way? Would Almighty God, that the Jewish people held God in such reverence, and rightly so, of course, they wouldn't even say the word Yahweh. This Almighty God who had called them out of Egypt, could he possibly come to earth in this form, in a manger, in a stable? Could this be? And some were sceptical and remained that way. The religious leaders, in the main, didn't believe. They didn't believe ever that Jesus was the Messiah. I wonder if they've forgotten those words of prophecy that they knew so well. I wonder, did it just seem so unlikely that these events would happen this way? They were sceptical. They thought, this can't be. It can't be right. And some people were hostile, of course. Some of the religious leaders later in Jesus' life and his ministry did become very hostile, and ultimately they put him to death. We've just been singing about that, and we know that was part of God's plan. But there was hostility. They felt that Jesus was an imposter, that this was hypocrisy, that this was just completely, for him to claim to be God was ridiculous. And Herod, of course, felt threatened. We know that later, as the Magi came to worship Jesus, and they asked directions of Herod, thinking he maybe had been born in the palace, that Herod was very threatened. Herod was a puppet king appointed by the Romans. He wasn't a king in David's line at all, and he wasn't going to accept any challengers. And so we know that Herod ordered the killing of all the baby boys. To be absolutely certain, he wanted rid of whoever this baby was. He wasn't taking any chances, and he wanted rid of him. There were different reactions to Jesus' birth, different reactions to the arrival of this baby. And I think that's just the same today. It's exactly the same today. 2,000 years later, we take things very much for granted, and we come together to worship the God who appeared in the form of his son in Bethlehem all those years ago. But many people today are uninterested, actually. There are lots of people who have no time at all for the Christian faith or the Christian message. The events of Christmas just passed them by. Lots of people have plenty of time for the holidays and the shopping and the celebration, the presents and all that goes with Christmas. But the events of Bethlehem mean nothing to them. Just as on that night, for many people in Bethlehem, the events just passed them by, actually. They were in Bethlehem because of the Roman census. They had to be there to register. But actually, these events, they were happening there in the stable. They meant nothing to them. I think that's true for so many people in our world today. The events of Christmas mean nothing to them. That's probably true in a small town like Hollywood, where people know vaguely what the message was, what the story was, but it means very little. Others are sceptical. In our scientific, rational world, they say, well, these things just don't happen. Can such things happen? Angels being born, a virgin conception. This is just nonsense. This couldn't be. Angels talking to people, appearing. Come on. Can we really believe that? I mean, how can we believe that today? They seem like a fairy tale. At this time of year, we have a lot of pantomimes. There's Jack and the Beanstalk and all sorts of weird and wonderful stories. And I think that there are people who sort of think that the story that we believe so much in is just another fable, like Hansel and Gretel, so many of the fairy tales. And they're sceptical. They don't believe that this is really God intervening in our world. Just as people were a bit sceptical of the shepherds. Who could believe these men, rough men who spend their time up in the fields there? And, you know, they were unimportant people, but they had witnessed the birth of the living God, and they went and told people. And you and I are unimportant as well in world terms. Of course, every one of us is unimportant, but each one of us has witnessed in our own lives what God can do, and we have a message for people. And some people, of course, are hostile. Some people see Jesus as a threat to their lifestyles, threat to their beliefs, threat to their ideology. Some won't admit any problem of sin. They don't like the idea that there is sin. They think, well, why should we be told by a God how to live? We should live as we want. We move on. We're enlightened. And there's hostility to the Christmas message. The word Christmas is banned, actually, from some businesses where you can wish people season's greetings or winter greetings or something. You're not allowed to say Christmas or put up anything about Christmas. Some people complain there's too much religion on television at this time of year. And actually, it's only two or three carol services, but that's too much. People want to exclude that message completely. But, you know, others are thoughtful. There are people who at this time of year are thoughtful. Right in the middle of our materialistic, rational world, there are people looking for a deeper reality. There are people trying to look beyond the consumerism and the materialism of our world. And they're not always looking in the right places. People look for spirituality, and they do look for angels. A lot of belief in angels. I'm talking about angels at the moment. People look for something beyond the material, something beyond what we see. And that gives us the opportunity to explain. It gives us the opportunity to explain about these events. You know, many people are actually ignorant of the facts. Many people will have heard some of the skeptics, Richard Dawkins, or some of the great skeptics saying, "Now this is all nonsense." But they've never actually looked into it for themselves. You see, when the shepherds heard this message and they were incredulous, well, they went and investigated. They went and found out for themselves. And there's an opportunity for us to explain to people and to share to people and to answer the questions that people have and to point people even to the New Testament to say, well, why don't you read about these events? To point people to the messages written hundreds of years before, which were then corroborated by the events in Bethlehem. And to help people to see, to help those who are thoughtful. We may not be special people, we may not be important people any more than the shepherds were, but we've had a personal encounter. If you're a believer today, you've had a personal encounter with God. And you can share what you've experienced. That's what the shepherds did. They simply went out to people and told them what they had seen, what they had experienced that night. Not preaching a sermon to people, but being willing to share with people. There are often folk in your work, in your neighbourhood, who are more willing to talk about your faith than we are, more willing to talk about our faith than we are to speak about it. Sometimes we're hesitant, we're reticent, we think, well, nobody's going to want to know, or people are going to feel embarrassed or awkward or whatever. There are very often people who, knowing that you're a Christian, say, really, can you tell us a bit more about that? What is this about the Christian faith? There are people who say, look, I'd love to believe, but I just don't know. We'll take that opportunity to share with them. What about just inviting someone along to the carol service? What are we saying? Well, why not come along? Come along and hear something about what Christmas really is, what we believe, what we celebrate at this time of year. You see, the shepherds couldn't help but tell people what they'd seen. They couldn't keep quiet about it. They went into Bethlehem at the dead of night saying, you've got to listen to this. And sometimes we're so hesitant. But we've had a message of the coming of the Saviour, the Prince of Peace. And we need to go out and share that with others. Even just to prompt a question in your work. Someone says, what are you doing for Christmas? Well, you can talk about having a meal or seeing your family or whatever. And you say, well, go along to church on Christmas morning. And people say, really? You go to church on Christmas Day? There's the opportunity. Simple way, a simple message, a simple taking the first step to sharing the greatest truth that people will ever hear. Some people are thoughtful. This is the chance to really take advantage of that and to share what we believe. And of course, we come together to rejoice. We've been singing great hymns of praise this morning. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen. And that's what we can do. We join with Christians all around the world as we celebrate these amazing events that took place in Bethlehem all those years ago. We join with the shepherds, we join with the angels in praising God. This is God's eternal plan. We mustn't lose sight of this in the midst of all that goes on Christmas. This is God's eternal plan from all eternity to save us from our sins. God's plan to reconcile sinful mankind, rebellious mankind, all that we have done wrong that separated us from God, to bring peace between us and him. It's easy for us also to get caught up in all the commercialism and all the trivia around Christmas. And there's nothing wrong with buying presents. There's nothing wrong with celebrating with a meal with family or friends or whatever. But let's not lose the real message, and let's really give thanks to God and rejoice in our hearts as we sing carols, as we share next week in the carol service, and share with others the joy of this time of year as we remember again the birth of Jesus. See, the angels sang of events that would change history, that would change human history. There's never been an event like the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem. until the resurrection of Jesus after his death in Calvary. These are events which are unmatched. They will never be matched in human history. God stepped into our world. And we can praise God not only at Christmas but all year round. That's what we must do. Remember the wonder of Christmas. Robin was saying that earlier. It's easy to lose the wonder of Christmas in the midst of all that has become associated with it. See, Jesus came to bring peace with God. There's no other way of achieving that. People may seek peaceful lives in so many ways. In our modern world, so many people lack peace. If you speak to any GP, they'll say that, and many people they treat who just have no peace, who are racked with guilt and uncertainty and anxiety. And there's peace with God through the Lord Jesus. At Advent, we think of the coming of Jesus, but also we remember that one day he will come again. We think of the first coming of Jesus, and we look forward to the second coming of Jesus, when that peace will finally be accomplished and sin will finally be defeated. Queen Victoria, when she heard a message from one of the chaplains in the church there beside Buckingham Palace, she heard the message on the second coming at Windsor Chapel, and she said to the chaplain afterwards, "Oh, how I wish that the Lord might come during my lifetime." Speaking of the second coming, and the chaplain asked her why that was so. And she said, "I would so love to lay my crown at his feet." So here's the Queen Victoria, the Queen of, in that case, back in the British Empire, who said, "I would love to lay my crown at his feet," recognising her place before the King of Kings. And of course, that's still true today. We sing the little town of Bethlehem carol, the little town of Bethlehem, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. That's the message. Maybe it's a message for you today. If you've never received God's forgiveness, that forgiveness is there for all who will accept their sin, accept their need of salvation. That's why Jesus came. That's the message of salvation for us today. That's the message of salvation for our modern, cynical, scientific, rational world. That there is forgiveness, that there is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who came all those years ago as a little baby in Bethlehem. Born to be the Saviour of the world, Jesus, who would save his people from their sins. That's the wonder of Christmas. Don't lose the wonder of it. The shepherds were overwhelmed. Very often we're underwhelmed, aren't we, if we're honest. We've got the messages we've got so familiar to us, but it's such an amazing message for us, for Hollywood, and for our world. And we need to go like the shepherds to tell others about the one who came, to speak about the one who has changed our lives and can change theirs. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these events that took place in Bethlehem. Father, we are just amazed because it just seems so unreal that you, the Almighty, Eternal, Holy Creator God, should step into human history in the form of a little baby born in an animal shed out behind an inn in the back streets of Bethlehem. But Father, we thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the angels who proclaimed the birth of Jesus. Thank you for the shepherds who went and saw and told others. And thank you for his life and ministry and his death on the cross for us that we've been singing about earlier. Thank you that Jesus came to make peace between you and us, with you and your holiness and us and our sinfulness. And Father, we pray that you help us never to stop giving thanks, never to take that forgiveness for granted, but to give you thanks again and again in our hearts. And help us to go as the shepherds did, to share that good news with others, that in our modern world where so many people try in so many ways to have satisfaction and fulfillment, help us to go and share that there is peace with God available through the Lord Jesus, who came to save us from our sins. And we give you thanks for all the blessings that we receive through the coming of the Lord Jesus, for our salvation, for every blessing you give us, and pray that you help us not to keep that to ourselves, but to share it with others, that others that we know and others in our town and all the contacts we have might come at this time of year to understand, just as the shepherds did, that you really did step into human history and have the offer of salvation to all who believe. So, Father, we give you thanks for stepping into our world and ask you to help us to share that with others in Jesus' name. Amen.